Blog Talk Radio.
And hello, everyone. Good evening, everyone. I'm Kay Thompson, and welcome to the Kay and Gus Show. And guess what? We're going to be talking boxing tonight.
The sweet science, as they say.
The Byron Saunders is here. I'm laughing because of the fact that that is a roundabout story for me starting in radio.
Okay.
And it was on Pat Atwell's show.
Uh-huh.
And through a friend who met me during the Black Rodeo thing, you know, and I'll tell you about that later. Anyway, said that you should come on the radio, learn about radio. I said, what? Me, Kay Thompson, learn about radio? What is that? You know, I was barely on television, you know. And so went in, and Pat had me on a show with Saeed Shabazz, friend of mine. And, of course, I didn't know anything.
And look,
and so
and
I
look
didn't
what
know what to expect. So they happened to be talking boxing, so I was just sitting there watching the whole thing, you know, all wide out. And so then somebody said something about boxing.
Yes.
And Pat said, Kay, why don't you, you know, what do you feel about boxing? Well, by that time I said, it's horrible, it's awful, you know, it's barbaric, it's brutal. To see two grown men stand up there punching each other, I said, good Lord, you know, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Well, every line lit up.
All because you took that stance. And see, the rest is history, as Paul Harvey would say.
I didn't know.
The rest of the story.
Yeah. And then we're calling, you know, saying, she doesn't know what she's talking about. Get that lady over. But that was my radio career.
There you have it.
And a few weeks after that, you know, I got an offer to come on WLIB. I said, oh.
Wow.
Then I had to learn what to do. But anyway, so I say all that to say, Byron, thank you for sitting in, because
sure,
we are going to be talking about the world of boxing.
Okay.
And the world of boxing, of course, involves, if you're in New Jersey, of course, it involves Larry Hazard.
Yes.
Who is one of the
premier
referees.
That's right.
You know, and also chief commissioner,
that's
I think.
That's right.
Was that right?
Yes.
See, I knew I was talking to
yeah.
All I have to do is ask you. I should have called you a few days ago, you know.
Oh, yes. He's very well known because he's refereed some of the greatest fights in history.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
As well as being a boxing commissioner for the state of New Jersey.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so Larry's story is real.
Yeah.
He's been in the ring, in the square circle, as they say.
Yeah. Well, he come to find out that he knows people that I know. And,
right.
You know, so I was really very tickled about it when I decided to do boxing. I'm trying to think, why did I decide to do boxing? I know, because Larry had been using a video of me. He's supposed to be calling in about now. So, Larry, Hazard, if you're out there, you know, call in so we can talk to you.
Yeah, so I really want to know his perspective of the fight between Pacquiao and
Marquez.
Oh,
yeah,
my goodness.
Yeah. You know, the person who I go to for certain things
is
my brother, Buddy Thompson.
Yes.
Bill Thompson, people call him. I call him Bud.
Mm-hmm. Bud.
But, you know, you
I
have
like
to say
that.
It in the throat.
No, oh,
Bud.
Oh, I know that because my grandmother wanted to nickname me Butch. And I was like, no. That's a
Butch.
Southern kind of Butch.
And you're supposed to say Bud.
Right. See, I understand.
Sometimes I say Bud.
That's
and
exactly.
It has to drop.
That's right, it drops.
And you see, only we can do that. The other folks can't do that. There's certain things that we do that you can't copy, you know?
Exactly.
But anyway, Larry Hazard is well known, as you know. And I was going to express my condolences because we heard about the death of Manny Stewart.
Yes.
You know, so.
Another great
trainer,
manager.
Really trainer, right?
Oh, yeah.
And didn't he train?
He trained Sugar Ray.
Yeah, really? Mm-hmm. And the Klitschko, is it Klitschko, brother?
Yeah.
The Lithuanian
heavyweight. Lithuanian heavyweight.
Whatever happened
Manny Stewart. Well, boxing. Oh, my goodness. I'm not sure what happened to the Lithuanian, because the Russians are now champions, Klecko.
No
kidding. But this latest fight, which I would love to hear Larry's commentary on it, because there's controversy that says that Marquez was beefed up with using human growth steroids. And anyway, he bulked up. Looking,
really?
Yes, and so there is a ongoing controversy right now, as you may not or may know.
No, I don't
know. He knocked out Pacquiao in the sixth round.
Really?
1 second before the round was over. And I mean, Pacquiao was
You're talking about Marquez.
Marquez knocked out Manny Pacquiao.
Knocked him out. Yeah, and I understand, you know, he was out.
He was out.
So my brother was telling me he was out. And they had to use smelling salts.
They had to get him back up off of the mat because he was face down.
But Byron, this was the fourth time they fought.
Yes.
So why so many fights?
Well, because the first three, in the opinion of both Arum and, of course, Marquez's corner, were that they were, one was a draw, two were given by decision to Pacquiao. So they felt that a fourth fight was necessary. Well, obviously, money will dictate those choices, and obviously it's knocked out Pacquiao's chances for Mayweather, who's supposed to be pound for pound, pretty boy Floyd Mayweather. That fight on off will probably not happen because there will be a fifth Marquez fight.
I'm using the cell phone right now because I'm trying to get in touch with is to get in touch with Larry Hazard
and make sure that he
is supposed to be calling in, but I just want to make sure that he has the right number to call in.
Well, as we try to do the technological right thing, I'll have to fill in some of the fight stuff. Okay, from the sweet science.
I have to tell you, I don't know what the heck I'm talking about. I had to call my brother.
Yes.
Okay, so buddy, if you're listening, and all of this information came from you, and I was dying to talk to Larry because of the fact that I told you about the jump rope and whatnot. And so it should be really interesting because I don't know what the heck I'm talking about. All I know is the two people stand there and slam each other.
Well, they
do. But Pacquiao, was Pacquiao was knocked out, right?
Yes.
That's his name, Pacquiao.
Manny Pacquiao.
Okay.
From the Philippines.
Yeah.
Who is a congressman.
I know. Is he going to be running for president of the Philippines?
Well, given that
country's
exactly, given that country's political background from Imelda Marcos to Marcos himself, and
let me take this for a minute. Just let me say
surely,
hello. Are you there?
And the current
this is Larry. Larry, can you call back on this number 323-679? Okay. Do you have a pencil? Oh, for the goodness sakes, you know. New media is fantastic, isn't it?
Oh, it's
I can
great.
Actually call Larry and talk to him. Are you there? All right, now I'm going to hang up, and if you will call back on 323-679-0906. 679-0906. Right. The area code is 323-679-0906. Call right away. We're waiting. Okay, thanks. Bye-bye.
How about that?
Isn't that great?
The magic of technology.
So he is waiting.
So he's going. We'll get the official 10 count from Larry Hazard. I love it.
And you're going to sit in with us.
I'll sit in. I want to know his take on it. Okay.
Okay.
I mean, I'm thrilled.
Do you want to know my take on it?
Yes. What is
man
your
take? Man was hit. Man fell down.
That's about the.
Did he get up?
No.
I understand that. But is he okay?
He's okay.
He went for a CAT scan.
And actually, Marquez went for a scan as well because it was felt that he suffered a concussion.
Oh, really?
These guys were banging each other.
See, that's why I think it's so brutal.
For millions of dollars. Yeah. 3 minutes each round.
Oh, ouch.
36 minutes total, 12-round fight.
I was thinking that I would go, no, it's not enough money in the world.
My take on boxing is first 10 seconds. If you're not knocked out by me in the first 10 seconds, I'm in trouble.
Okay, we're going to go to the first call. Are you on the air? Larry Hazard, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, Larry, how are you?
I'm fine. And yourself?
Good. Fine to get you on the phone and to talk to you. We've been listening. I accept their condolences about Manny Stewart.
Yeah.
You know,
Emmanuel Stewart,
carried,
one of the greatest.
One of the great trainers.
Manuel Stewart is a very... But it's funny you mentioned Manuel because my son, he sends out his Facebook and he has a bunch of pictures of Manuel Stewart and myself. Manuel Stewart is a very close friend of mine.
Ah, mm-hmm.
And I was out in Detroit. I went out to Detroit about Well, they had a memorial for Manuel about a week after his death. They cremated him.
Okay.
And then they had a memorial for him about 2-3 weeks ago. So I went out, and it was a tremendous send off or memorial for Manuel. Manuel was a great boxing person. And he's certainly going to be missed in the sport.
Mm-hmm.
He was a great trainer.
He has no equal. He has no equal.
That's right.
Yeah.
As far as trainers are concerned.
Mm-hmm.
He was definitely the gold standard.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Tommy Hearns.
Mm-hmm. All those.
Well,
all
Manuel,
the way
from... I'm looking at a picture. I'm looking at some pictures of Manuel right now.
Yeah.
You know, Manuel was a hired gun, you know. He not only did he developed his own stable of fighters in Detroit, Tommy Hearns, Hill McKenty.
That's right.
As a matter of fact, was his first champion.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and then, of course, he had the McCrory brothers.
Right.
And the list just goes on and on. But Manuel Stewart worked in the corner at some point of almost 40, 45 world champions.
Wow.
You know. And, of course, he was the trainer of the Klitschko, of Vitali Klitschko,
yeah,
for the last 7 or 8 years.
They're from the group from the two brothers from Lithuania?
Yeah. You have Vitali and his brother. Vladimir. Manuel was Vladimir's trainer. And, of course, there was Vitali. But Manuel was known as a hired gun in the business. You know, when guys lose their titles, then they would bring Manuel Stewart in as their trainer, and they would win their titles back.
Uh-huh.
You know? And he was just so consistent. He actually had a very scientific approach to training fighters, and he was very, very successful. You know?
Well, what was the wait a minute. Before we go any further, Larry, let me introduce Byron Saunders, who has the show before on here on GoPro Radio Network before mine. And he has so graciously consented to sit in for me every now and then because he is an expert in historical events and people, et cetera, et cetera.
And it's an honor to be speaking to you, Mr. Hazard. I mean, I've watched you in the square circle and the fights that you have been, the championship fights that you've been a referee, the fact that you're a New Jersey commissioner. You're a legend. It's an honor to speak to you, and I definitely have a question for you with respect to this last fight.
Well, wait
you
on
know,
wait
but
a minute.
I want, we'll get to that, but
I
go ahead.
I want to tell people
yes.
about Larry. Larry also is an educator.
Oh, yes.
You know, he has a master's degree
yes.
in, what is your master's degree in?
Well, educational administration. Right now, I'm the principal,
and you've been
of a charter school.
Of course, you were principal for several schools in New York, right?
Yes. I was actually what happened.
Yeah.
I started out as a physical education and health teacher in the middle school system. And then, of course, I moved up the line. I became a vice principal at Westside High School, principal at the old Broadway Junior High School. And then in 1985, Governor Tom Kaine appointed me the athletic commissioner for the state of New Jersey after I had started my career as a professional boxing referee in 1978.
Mm-hmm.
And I stayed in that job as a commissioner all the way up through all of the governors up to John Corzine.
Uh-huh.
So I went from Kaine to Corzine in the boxing commission.
Wow.
And then within the last few years, I went back into education, and now I'm the principal of a charter school.
Oh, no kidding.
In the
charter school, Larry.
Yes.
Which?
Adelaide L. Sanford Charter School.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
That's a school that Frederica Bay had started over in Newark.
Very
so
familiar.
I've been there.
Yeah, very familiar with it.
But
you
I'm
know,
still involved. I'm still involved in boxing very heavily.
Uh-huh.
I've been in China with the Chinese government helping to develop many of the officials. And they're really trying to build their athletic programs in China, especially boxing.
Wow!
So I'm a consultant for the International Boxing Professional Boxers Union, the IPBU, station in Beijing, China.
So you fly back and forth then?
Back and forth. As a matter of fact, they wanted me. I have some of my associates will be leaving on the 18th to go. We'll be doing maybe 2-3 shows a month right after the Chinese New Year in China. But, you know, at this point in time, I told them that I really don't like to miss the holiday season with my family. I have several grandchildren now, so they'll have to catch me. I'll have to bypass this one, and I'll be going on the Christmas break. You know, I'll be flying over to Hanoi. Hanoi. I'll be flying out to Hong Kong, and then we'll be going to Macau.
Yeah.
You know, for that's where you know they have some casinos there. And, you know, we'll be doing some events there. So,
Larry,
you know, I'm still very active.
You've got to promise me one thing. When you are going to the back and forth to China, I need for you to call me or let's talk with you in China because we're heard worldwide, by the way. Okay?
I certainly will do that.
Wherever you are in the world, okay?
I certainly will do that. Yes, I will.
Glover and Ayanna Jones, who's going to be having Yousef Salam on her show, by the way, right after this show. You know, they are all, you know, the top people here at GoPro Radio Network, and we can talk to you wherever in the world.
That's right.
Because you know well that I don't know a thing about boxing other than the fact that it's brutal.
Greatest sport. It's the greatest sport in the world, believe me.
By the way. My brother, I call my brother Buddy, you know, Buddy Bill Thompson and Elizabeth, and he may be listening in. And I got all this information that I know about boxing. I always get the information from him because he is a fan of yours also.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
A lot of fans, Mr. Hazard, let me tell you.
That's great.
And it's a pleasure, as I said, to be speaking with you. Now, Manny Pacquiao and Marquez, you saw the fight, I'm sure.
Yes, I did.
Uh-huh. Okay, now there's a controversy, obviously, that's swirling around.
By the way, Wilfredo Benitez is going to be calling in, and so is Eric Payne going to be calling in.
Oh, good,
okay?
Good.
And Gina Payne stepped from Bermuda.
And so your take on the fight, it was obviously a knockout. It was rock 'em, sock 'em, as they say. These guys
but
each other.
But what was the controversy? I'm trying to figure out what
controversy was now is that Marquez is being criticized for his trainer, who was part of the Balco steroid controversy, and now they say he bulked up so much, obviously. A different training method.
Who, Pacquiao?
Marquez. Yeah. So you know, Mr. Hazard, when the loser, when he comes out, somebody's going to have some sour grapes, and then probably he's coming from Bob Arum himself. Okay.
Yeah. Well, you know, we might be looking for. They might be looking for a Marquez Pacquiao 5.
I think so.
Okay.
Exactly.
You know, and so you know, I guess they're trying to catch up with Jake LaMotta and Sugar Ray Robinson.
Sugar Ray Robinson,
you know,
exactly.
They fought 6 times, you know, and Sugar Ray, my idol, he beat LaMotta 5 out of 6.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is even a little bit more closer because they've had some close bouts previous to this one, and so Marquez is kind of evening it up. So
he did
that's
it.
All a part of the business. You know?
And it was a sweet punch, wasn't it?
Ouch.
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah, and you know the sad thing about this whole situation is that Floyd Mayweather, who is probably the most
pound for pound,
he's probably the most talented of all the fighters in boxing. Pound for pound.
Is he
pound for pound?
Well, he fought Marquez once, didn't he? He beat Marquez.
Floyd.
Yeah.
Yeah, Floyd beat Marquez, I believe.
So he's
okay.
Pacquiao is the one that they want to get the fight, but because Marquez and Pacquiao have had 4 fights now, the fifth is obvious.
See, here's the sad part. The hottest fight at one point in time in recent years, the hottest fight was a Mayweather-Pacquiao fight.
Yes.
Okay? You remember when that was really the hot fight?
Oh.
That everybody wanted to see.
Absolutely.
And like it always happens in boxing, you know, the politics and all of the other stuff that swirls around, eventually one or both loses, and then interest in the fight just wanes. Yeah. Now nobody even cares, you know, since Pacquiao got knocked out.
Right.
You know, then, of course, Pacquiao, remember, the fight prior to this, he lost a very, very controversial decision to a fighter named Tim Bradley.
That's right. Uh-huh.
Okay? And it's quite obvious that that was the biggest robbery since Jesse James held up Wells Fargo, you know? when Tim Bradley, but a loss is a loss, you know?
Loss, that's
right. And you know, when it's a shame because boxing loses.
Yes.
When everyone was clamoring for Mayweather Pacquiao,
uh-huh.
You know, you're talking 30 or 40 million apiece.
That's right.
For both of those guys,
yeah,
at the time.
Is
both
that
undefeated.
Or what?
You know, and the talk, you know, boxing was coming alive again.
Yes.
You know, the barbershops were buzzing. Mm-hmm. You know how, you remember back during the glory days of boxing, the 60s,
oh, yeah,
the 70s, and the 80s, 90s. You know, we had about 4 decades.
That's right.
Of real,
great,
real boxing. And boxing was at the height of its popularity. You know, and you got all of the debates in the barbershop,
you know,
Ali Frazier, Holmes, all of those, who's going to win, Tyson against whomever, you know what I mean? There was so much excitement, and, you know, never before since those fights was there such a buzz, you know, when everybody wanted to see Pacquiao Mayweather. You know,
that's right.
Is that going to
happen? You know, to talk about Pacquiao, even in the beauty parlors, who's going to win? Who's going? You know what I mean? And these guys just let it slip away. Now nobody cares.
Yeah.
Well, but Larry,
Pacquiao lost. You know, nobody cares now.
Larry, is that a possibility that they may fight?
Well, it's still a possibility they may fight, but you know, the money, it won't be worth the money that it was, and nobody's really that much interested in it anymore.
Wow.
You know, Pacquiao lost now. He's lost 2 fights.
Yeah.
And he has shown his vulnerability.
Yes,
see, there's nothing like the interest that's generated in a fight where there's 2 talented fighters, both undefeated. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
And let's face it. You know, here's this young Filipino, you know what I mean, who brings, you know, he's like the hero. Because, you know, boxing, the sport of boxing is so unique in so many ways. And it has always thrived off of its ethnic rivalry, its racial rivalry, its geographic rivalry. That's what makes the sport of boxing so unique.
Yeah.
You know, the
yeah.
guy from Newark against the guy from Philadelphia, or the guy from the East Side against the guy from Harlem. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's always, boxing has always, you know, the black fighter against the white fighter. You know what I mean? That's just always the way this sport has generated interest, you know.
Well,
and, of course, the heavyweight champion of the world is the baddest man on the planet. You know what I mean?
Well,
everybody takes great pride in who represents the heavyweight championship. You know, when Joe Louis was champion. You know,
are there any more heavyweights other than the Klitschko brothers?
Well, right now, the pickings are very slim.
Very slim. But we lost a great one in Macho Man.
Well, yeah, I was, I went over for the funeral. You know, Hector lived a fast life.
He did,
Macho
indeed.
Macho.
And it kind of caught up with him, you know. It's a shame the way it happened.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but Hector was...
was anything else. You know, the way it went down, it was more like a hit.
It looked that way. It really looked that way. They claim that, you know, whoever did it just pulled up next to the car and opened up on him.
Yeah.
And the driver, the guy that was with Hector, you know, they killed him. He died immediately.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Hector hung on for about a week, you know.
Yeah, 2 or 3 days where he was on life support.
Yeah. Yeah, he was on life support.
Well, let's go back a little bit in time there, Larry. Who was the greatest fighter of all time?
Well, that's easy for me because Sugar Ray Robinson, in my view, pound for pound, is still. Yeah. And you know, the funny thing about it, that's a question that's always asked.
Mm-hmm.
And they did a survey a few years ago, and there's always been a lot of debate on, you know, who was the greatest between Ali, Frazier. You know, there's always been like a debate on who's the greatest heavyweight, who's this. But they revealed that it has been unanimous. You know, there's always a unanimous conclusion that the greatest fighter pound for pound in the history of boxing is Sugar Ray Robinson.
No kidding.
You get very little argument on that. And, of course, that made me feel very well, very good, because when I saw Sugar Ray Robinson box on a television program back in the 50s called the Gillette Cavalcade of Sport,
Don Dumfries.
I saw Sugar Ray Robinson.
Yes.
He fought a guy named Carmen Pasilio.
Carmen Pasilio.
Who just died recently.
Yes, he did. I saw
that. And they tell me that, Larry, you were too young. You never saw Sugar Ray at his greatest when he was a welterweight. That was a middleweight fight, and he was great.
Yeah.
That sent me to the gym when I saw him in his waning years as a middleweight.
Right.
You understand? They said, oh, Larry, you should have seen him when he was a welterweight. And I've seen films of Sugar Ray Robinson. I have a film collection, and I have his whole history.
Oh, wow.
Would you believe, from when he was an amateur fighter.
Wow.
Good he luck. Fought for a club called Salem Crescent.
Larry,
Salem Crescent. You know, he's originally from Detroit, Michigan.
Right.
But he always called Harlem his home because he came to New York at a young age. But he's originally from Detroit. You know? Walker Smith Jr.
Walker Smith Jr. Sugar Ray.
Walker Smith Jr.
That was his
Ray Robinson.
Yeah.
Wow.
And like yourself, Mr. Hazard, I saw him when he was more of a middleweight. I never saw him as a welterweight. But my father talked about
My
Ray.
Father and my brother used to, you know, watch
Yes.
And I remember Don Dumphy and the Gillette. You know, I was right.
Yeah, that's right.
Night fight.
That's right.
Byron, I have lucked up on you today. I didn't know this about you.
Oh, yeah. That's part of what we used to do with my, like you said, the barbershop.
Yeah, yeah.
Those Friday, Saturday moments where Friday you would watch the fight, Saturday you go to the barbershop, and that was the main
topic.
And
that was the main topic.
That's right.
Yeah.
And you know, that's one of the greatest social institutions, as you all know, especially in the black community, the barbershop and the beauty parlor.
Got that right.
The church, barbershop, beauty parlor, those are some of the great social institutions of our community, you know.
Listen, Larry.
And of course,
I think the boxing gym was very, you know, social also. Am I right?
Well, back in the day, you know, in
what
places
do you mean,
like New York,
you were playing my video in your gym, and are you calling me back in the day?
Well, I was just trying to, you know, I'll be trying to add some of the old time flavor, you know. Some of these youngsters, they really don't know because it's not like it was.
Larry,
you know, back.
We have to take a short break. We have to take a short break, and we had a caller on. I hope they're going to call back. Are we going to be taking that break now, Shauna? Shauna Glover, no? Okay, let's go to the caller. Is there a caller on the line? Hello, you're on the air.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, Eric.
My name is Eric. How you doing, Ma? I just wanted to call in. I wanted to say, give a shout-out to the great Mr. Hazard.
This is my son, Larry.
That's your son?
Mr. Hazard.
Eric.
How are you, sir?
Hey.
Just
okay,
want
how
to
you
give
doing,
a shout
man?
Out to you. I'm doing good. I've seen you, you know, referee some of the greatest fights of all time, sir. And being that you are a homeboy from the great city of Newark, New Jersey, watched you as a kid growing up doing your thing, and was always inspired by your professionalism and your command in the ring and making sure that the fights went down the correct way and both gentlemen conducted themselves professionally. Just wanted to let you know that the way you carried yourself and the way you conducted yourself was an inspiration to all of us coming up, regardless of whether we were going to become boxers or whatever in life. So I just wanted to say that to you, sir. It's a pleasure to have an opportunity to talk to you.
Well, I want to thank you very much, young man. I appreciate those comments, and all I can say is that, you know, growing up in a place like Newark, you know, I've always tried to represent where my hometown and certainly my people with the highest level of integrity and respect, you know. So I certainly feel like from your comments that I really did hit that mark, and I appreciate that very much.
Yes, sir. And,
listen,
I'm just going to listen to you tell more stories because I'm eating it all up, you know. I idolized Muhammad Ali.
We're not going anywhere. Yeah, we're not going anywhere. And Eric was able to go to Muhammad Ali's training camp. But we do have to take a break, and we will be right back. So we want everybody to stay with us. Shauna, are we ready to take that break or no? Are we ready to take the break? Yeah.
Everyone who cares about the future of humanity is invited tonight, December 14th, 2012, to a big fundraising party to save Revolution Books. It starts at 5:30 and it goes till 10 p.m. with the music, international food, great books, and gifts for everyone on your list, and a chance to meet the movement that is about bringing in a radically different world. That's December 14th, 2012. We will kick off a fundraising drive to make Revolution Books financially self-sufficient by 2013. Okay, this is what you have to do. You have to go to 146 West 26th Street between 6th and 7th Avenues. And for more information, call 212-691-3345. And it's at Revolution Books, 146 West 26th Street between 6th and 7th Avenues in New York City. Call 212-691-3345.
You're listening to Eco Socialist Right Here with Noel
Cavell. And we are back, everyone. And I'm Kay Thompson for the Kay and Gus Show. And, of course, my partner, Gus Henningberg, passed October 15th, as a matter of fact. But he is here in spirit. And I'm going to keep the name Kay and Gus. I'm slowly moving away from... No, I'm not going to move away from Gus. That's how. Byron Saunders is joining me. And he comes on before me here on the GoPro Radio Network, and he is a historian. I'm so glad you're sitting in. Thank you.
Let me tell you, like your son.
Yeah, Eric is on the line.
Your son, Eric, is like, for you, the same for me, to speak to Mr. Hazard, this is like boxing heaven, okay? I mean, the inside the ring man himself can't get much better. Because Larry Hazard, you're an icon, all right?
Yes, sir. once I found out that he was from Brick City,
yeah,
you know, it made me feel all the more proud because, you know, like you said, Mr. Hazard, a lot of people didn't really respect Newark, New Jersey for a long time and thought it was, you know, they made all these jokes about it and things like that. And everywhere I went, I let them know that that's where I was from. It was my hometown. It was a great place. And finding out that you were from there, too, that made it all the better, you know. So I just wanted to throw that in.
That's right. Well, I appreciate that very much.
Thank you. Larry knew Donald Payne, Congressman Donald Payne, your uncle.
Donald Payne, let me tell you something. Donald Payne followed my career. Donald Payne was my ninth grade English teacher at Robert Treat Junior High School. And when I went to his funeral, and I said, gee whiz, they kept talking about his teaching career at Southside, but they omitted the fact that he spent many years at Robert Treat. He came to Robert Treat from Southside, 1959. But he was there a few years before, because my brother was there a year or so in front of me, a couple years, and Donald Payne would leave school, which, you know, Robert Treat was right on the corner of 13th Avenue and Norfolk Street. He would come out of the building, and he drove like a 1957 Ford, I think, you know, and he would drive a block or two right over to the Jones Y.
Jones Street.
Okay. The Jones Street Y. He ran the Y, Mr. Payne.
Mm-hmm.
okay? And, of course, back in those, I tell a lot of people, I knew Nonno Payne when he was a young dude, and all the girls loved him, you know? And he was, and he used to come out, in the playground and play basketball with my brother and those guys, because those guys played basketball. I was boxing, you know, started my amateur career. And Donald Payne and his brother, Bill Payne, okay, they used to come out to the Elizabeth Armory, out to the Elks Club in Elizabeth.
Wow.
When we were competing in the Golden Gloves, Friday nights, okay? And me and Donald Payne, I actually was calling him Mr. Payne up until I was about in my late 40s. That's how much respect. He had to tell me, we were having a conversation once, and he was telling me, you call me Donald, Larry. You know what I mean? That's how much respect we have for this man. You understand? You talking about, and this guy, we had a standing joke because he knew, see, when I was boxing, when I was competing as an amateur, you were supposed to be 16 years old to compete as an amateur boxer. Well, I was fortunate. I had put my age up by at least a year and a half. I was like 14 going on 15, and I entered the Golden Gloves, and I won, okay? And so when I come back to school and I was still competing as an amateur, of course, being a youngster, I'd get a little cocky every now and then, and I'd be over there in school, and sometimes I'd get a little cocky, and he would threaten me, you know, he would threaten to expose me, you know what I mean? And I'd fall right back in line, man. You know, I'd say, oh, okay, I'm okay, Mr. Payne, everything's cool. You know what I mean? You know, he threatened to expose me to the amateur officials, and he told that joke. He came, the Essex County DeVincenzo, when they inducted me into the International Hall of Fame, they gave me like a Larry Hazard celebration over at the county. And so Donald came up from D.C., and he came over, and, you know, he spoke. There were some speakers there, and he spoke. And he told that story. You know, he says, well, I guess I was a co-conspirator, you know. And he told a story about when I was competing as an amateur underage. And he always held that over my head to make me behave in school, you know. So he was quite a guy, man. I mean, here's a guy that everybody respected, you know. And you got to remember, you know, back in those years, especially I know when I was coming through elementary school in the late 50s and, you know, early, you know, going to early 60s, there weren't a lot of black educators in the North school system. There were a few coming in, but I remember Donald Payne as being among that first group of black educators. So, you know, those were the real role models for us. And then especially the males, like, and he was athletic, you know, and he just was represented such an identity element for us. You know, he was athletic. You know, the guy was good looking. He dressed nice. So, you know, he presented a real good role model for us, you know. And he was always trying to instill, let me tell you, like, he had, like, he would always try to introduce us into things that were real classy, like, you know, he tried to teach us how to do, like, ballroom dancing and all that kind of stuff, you know. You know, he was real, you know, progressive like that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, You know, we were very lucky. I say I was very lucky, and a lot of the guys that came along, you know, in my neighborhood. I grew up on 15th Avenue, you know, up in the Central, which was the old Third Ward, you know. I lived on the corner of Moss and 15th Avenue. So, you know, I grew up right in the heart of that area. And so, you know, it was great for us to be able to see, you know, like a teacher in our neighborhood. You know what I mean? Because most of your teachers, you know, when you left school, they went, you know, off into the suburbs or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
So here, you know, we go right two blocks down the hill and right to the Jones Street Y, because my uncle owned the barbershop right across, because the Y was right across the street from Brantford Brakes that sat on the corner of 14th Avenue and Jones Street. And the Y was right across the street. And my uncle owned the barbershop right next to Brantford Brakes. So, you know, we'd always see Mr. Payne, you know, and he always would have, like, on Friday evening early, you know, it was like little dances and parties, you know, and he taught us how to socialize and have fun, you know what I mean? And plus, you know, he was cool and he was tough, you know, but he always knew how to exert that tough type of love. And it was something that really inspired us, and we respected him for it, you know what I mean?
Okay.
So, you know, it's just a great thing, you know.
That's a great story.
It's a great thing. Yes.
Mr. Hazard, you've been in the square ring for so many years. What was the best fight you refereed? I mean, I know you've got one that tops all of them, because at that point, you've seen so many. You've been part of the championship business for a long, long time. And I know, in your own, what was your number one? What's the first one that you think of that the best fight you ever had to referee?
Well, believe it or not, I'm gonna tell you one of it's not a fight that maybe you might not even remember. You know, you would expect me to say some, you know, real well-known fight, you know. But I'm going to tell you, one of the best fights that I ever refereed, believe it or not, was a fight between one of Manuel Stewart's fighters. His name was Hill McKinney, and he fought a fighter named Sean O'Grady in Atlantic City.
Yes, I saw that fight.
You saw that fight?
Great fight. That was a great fight.
Bloody?
Yeah,
that was a terrific fight, wasn't it?
Oh, it was indeed.
I think I remember seeing that too.
Yeah, it was the ABC Wide World of Sports fight.
Wow.
Wide World of Sports, that's right.
But it's also Eric.
Oh, yes.
Eric.
I think I remember seeing that as well.
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Good fight.
And
great.
I did a heck of a fight. I did a couple tough fights in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
We have about three more minutes, and then we're going to be having to wrap this up, Larry, so we're going to have to get you on again. Yousef Salam is going to be on with Ayanna Jones next, by the way, and he is one of the five boys who was accused of raping Central Park jogger.
Right.
And I did a part two, you know, with that story. And Yousef Salam is here in the studio with Ayanna, so we're going to be going to that. We also wanted to talk to Gina Payne and George Scott in Bermuda, about Bermuda's, you know, when they have a hurricane there, you know, and they tell people to evacuate here. Well, you never realize that the islands don't have any place to go. So, and then they're also going through an election the following year. But we're going to be taking a break very shortly. But listen, Larry, thank you so much.
It's been my pleasure.
Yeah.
I hope that I didn't gobble up too much in the conversation. But, you know, when you start talking boxing with me, man,
well,
I can go on and on.
I'm going to call you again because, you know, I don't know anything about it. But Eric does. Eric went to Muhammad Ali's camp when you were little, right, Eric?
We went to visit Muhammad Ali when he was getting ready to fight Leon Spinks, when we tried to get him to come and do a little campaign appearance for my uncle the first time he ran for Congress. And the champ was playing tricks on me, and I was the only one in the room who didn't know until the very last minute. So
you was up in Eric, you was up in Deer Lake?
Yes, sir.
You went to Deer Lake, okay.
19, when he fought Leon Spinks, so I forget exactly what that was. I don't want to say how long
I spent
was.
About a week up there. Yeah,
yes,
that's,
sir.
Well, that was fun times, you know. That was some fun times. The WBC just honored Ali last week,
right.
You know,
mm-hmm.
He's king of boxing, and it was very nice down in Cancun. So I went down for 2 days and came back.
Before you go, Mr. Hazard, I'd like to ask you, and if you don't mind, I'd like to ask Mr. Hazard,
right.
How do you feel? I saw an old interview on YouTube the other day that was done in England with Muhammad Ali, George Foreman, and Joe Frazier. Do you feel that it was I felt good because they were all kind of promoting whatever they were promoting at the time, but they had all three come together. And it seemed like at that point in their life, you know, those rifts have been mended, certainly with George Foreman, and even between the champ and Muhammad Ali and Joe Frazier, that they had mended a lot of those rifts that they had back in the day. Do you think that they finally, at least before Mr. Frazier passed away, that they were able to come to some kind of, you know, mutual respect and terms?
Well, there was always, there was some semblance of it, but I don't think that Joe Frazier ever really forgave Ali for the way that he taunted him and some of the stuff that he took his family through. I used to try to talk to Joe and make him understand it, but I don't think, I really don't, Eric, I don't think that Joe, and that's the consensus among most of the guys that know, you know, that know Joe closely, like Butch.
Right.
We used to try to talk to him. I don't think that Joe ever really, really deep down inside forgave Ali for what he put him through and what he put his family through, you know, with that taunting, especially after Joe, you know, came to his aid when he was in exile. You know what I mean?
Right, right, yeah. And, you know, the champ was wrong. As a fan of the champ, I think he was a little bit out of line in some of the comments, certainly. You know, when you look back as an adult now and the guerrilla comments and things like that, he was out of line, you know.
Well, you know, I think it was the kids. Joe always said it was the children. You know, he had to get bodyguards for his for Marvis and the kids, you know, to go to school. You know, when Ali was labeling my Uncle Tom and all that kind of stuff. So, I mean, I guess the wound was just, those wounds were so deep that, you know, but it is what it is, you know. And but I don't think he ever really forgave him.
Mm-hmm. Well, Larry, listen, it was really an honor to talk to you, you know, and I'm so glad you decided to come on. And Eric, I'm glad that you're calling in all the way from California. Really appreciate that. And we will not take a break right now. We're going to be, you know, we're just going to be stopping in about 8 minutes anyway. I thought I was going to be able to talk to people from Bermuda, and, you know, they were going to be calling in. And if they are going to be calling in, then we'll go right to them. But we're going to be continuing this right now. Because, you know, there is a problem with when there's a hurricane. But, Larry, thank you very much. You can stay on the line. Okay?
Well, thank you very much. And, Eric, it was nice talking to you, you guys.
We actually met about
thank
this
you,
funeral.
Ms. Payne.
Thank you. Thank you. Kay.
It was indeed. It was my pleasure. Thank you very much.
Kay Thompson to you, Larry. Remember? You remember my video, right?
Yes, I will. Yes.
Now, listen, did I jump rope correctly or what?
Yes, you did.
I was so flattered. You know, because
yes, you did.
Those girls said I couldn't jump rope, right? Listen, you know, we kids, when we were jumping rope, there was something you never forget. And jump rope was one thing, so I made them eat crow. And they were the team of Vi Higginson,
yes,
you know.
I remember
so,
Vi had that team of jump ropers, yes.
Right, yeah. I interview them and ask them, you know, how long it would be before, you know, I could learn to do what they did. They were doing all kinds of tricks. And
of
they
course,
said 20
yeah.
years.
Yeah.
Well, I said, oh, really? Got up there and jumped.
See, that's when the schoolgirl and you came out from playing in the playgrounds and
that's
jumping
right.
double dutch rope.
That's
true. Yeah, okay.
You
I
remember
know.
That, Aaron?
Sure do.
Okay, we're going to be right. We'll be right back. Thank you, Mr. Hazard.
Happy holidays.
Okay, thank you. Happy holidays.
Same to you. Thank you, Eric. We'll talk to you shortly. Okay. Stay with us, everyone. We will be right back.
Anyone who cares about the future of humanity is invited this Friday night, December 14th, 2012, to a big fundraising party to save Revolution Books. It starts at 5:30 and it goes till 10 p.m. with the music, international food, great books and gifts for everyone on your list, and a chance to meet the movement for revolution that is about bringing in a radically different world. That's December 14th, 2012. We will kick off a fundraising drive to make Revolution Books financially self-sufficient by 2013. Okay, this is what you have to do. You have to go to 146 West 26th Street between 6th and 7th Avenues. And for more information, call 212-691-3345. And it's at Revolution Books, 146 West 26th Street between between 6th and 7th Avenue in New York City. Call 212-691-3345.
You're listening to Eco Socialist Horizon with Joe Cavell.
To do this,
yeah,
because it's more.
What a loss!
Yeah,
their loss. Okay, and we are back, everyone. We are back. Kay Thompson here on the Kay and Gus Show here on GoPro Radio Network, and thanks to Larry Hazard, thanks to Eric Payne, and thanks to you, Byron Saunders.
It's been a pleasure. I can only tell you what an honor it is to work this show, but then I had a chance to talk to Larry Hazard.
Jeez.
Oh my God!
No,
like,
oh,
you just made my night. Okay,
yeah,
the boxing legend himself.
Yeah, I've heard. Wow. Yeah, we know about
his
him.
Stories.
Yeah. So we're going to be talking to him again, especially
yes.
when he goes to China.
To China, right? Definitely.
And, I'm glad that Eric got a chance to talk to him also. And I'm so glad that, you're going to be coming on more and more with me because I need
this
historical information. By the way, people are not going to want to miss the show next week. I cannot say who it is right now.
I'm going
to
be here.
But it is going to be such a shock.
Okay.
A real serious shock. Coming up, Ayanna Jones, everyone. Listen in because Yousef Salam,
yes.
one of the young men who went to jail for something that they didn't do, the five boys, when the Central Park jogger case, and I
yes.
did part one and part two
yes.
with Anna Phillips, who was a reporter and the producer of that time. I was on WIV at the time.
Right.
And we all were destroyed when the NYPD, arrested them.
Yes.
And put them in jail unjustly. It was unbelievable. It was so, I always talk about angry during the early time when I was on LIB. This is one of the cases. I was on the air at that time. And this is one of the cases that I just couldn't believe it because there were so many other things going on. There was,
the city still has not apologized.
No, they haven't.
But this is
sued.
The sad part. They're being sued.
But
they need to be
sued. But that doesn't
yes.
put
right.
back those
no,
years.
Doesn't. Goes
it doesn't
give.
Put back those years. So I'm looking forward to meeting Mr. Salam, really. So stay tuned, everybody. Don't go any place because
GoPro Radio Network
is going to be going right on with the GoPro Radio Network. So if you don't know, just go to GoPro Radio Network and go to Ayanna, I-Y-A-N-N-A, Jones Show. Yousef Salam is going to be on with her and just coming up in about, 6 or 7 minutes?
Yes. GoProRadio.com.
GoProRadio.com, So make sure that you stay tuned for this. And for next week, I want you to join me. Because
you've picked my interest.
It's going to be dynamite.
I know that it
I'm
is.
I'm not going to say right now, but it's
all right.
It's like the... Well, this is going to be the show of the season.
All right.
When this
now, you and I are in competition for the best of the GoPro Radio Network, and I love it. But we keep driving our numbers higher and higher, and that's so the disappearing. We are coming back.
Yeah.
We are bringing
it
back.
We're
that's
here.
Right.
And there's so many other people that I'm going to be bringing on. So many. I'm trying to get, several people.
Indeed.
Same here. A number of people, but this person.
Okay.
Cool. And you're going to be absolutely delighted.
Be there or be square, as they say.
It's so powerful.
Yeah.
You're going to say, wow.
I like wow moments.
Yeah.
Oh,
okay.
This is an OMG moment.
Show ending in 2 minutes.
Okay, in 2 minutes. It's on you.
Thanks, Byron.
You're
thank
very
you so
welcome.
Much. I'm Kay Thompson, and I have been here with the Kay and Gus Show. And my partner, Gus Henningberg, passed, as you may know. And we're going to be saying goodbye for now and stay tuned for Ayanna's show. And in fact, go to GoPro Radio Network Week. You really want to hear stories where you don't hear before, where you don't hear anyplace else and you haven't heard before. But anyway, I'm Kay Thompson. Thank you all for listening.
Peace and love.
Okay.